Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for November 14th, 2022. Beth, got your question. Okay, so let me read it. Beth is a cash flow cat. She is self-employed as a lawyer, and she has her own cases, and she does writing for other lawyers, and then she's also an actress. So
that's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So she reports back from last session that she was not chosen for the nonprofit job, but the upside is she now is free to work on her acting. And I need to create a balance between my earning job as a lawyer and my creative interests that efficiently brings me enough money while allowing me creative freedom. And you have contracts with two firms and your own line of sports immigration cases. So the upside of not getting the nonprofit job is that I didn't want to give up my sports immigration practice, but I do need to manage it more effectively because you do want this extra time to devote to your artistic stuff.
Yeah, and so basically what I have now is sort of an outgrowth of the pandemic, but I was sort of working with this way before. I have one part-time remote paralegal. She's great in terms of interacting with clients and promptly asking what I ask her to do and responding to requests. But a lot of this stuff, it's not up to my standards, so I have to redo a lot of it. And the thing is, to hire somebody locally full-time would cost more than I can afford. I've thought about getting students, but I actually tried that once. And what happens is they're available for some tasks temporarily, and then they have to study. So,
yeah. But this current paralegal you have is a remote, works remotely.
She's remote and she's loyal. And so basically I don't want to punish her in any way because she's nice and she's loyal, but it's not always up to my standards. And there's some language things. There are always going to be language things with immigration paralegals. Now, in my case, what I did to be different, this is me, I work with people from a number of different countries and her native language is Portuguese. So sometimes when she puts things together in English, they're not in really proper English. So I have to redo a lot of that. And then she can be a little sloppy sometimes with the data. So I have to really go over everything really carefully.
Okay. And we can certainly talk about that. We don't have to talk about that right now, but if you did want to have a conversation, because that is definitely something that people who are self-employed come up with, or anybody who has employees, it's like really great person, has a lot of strengths on that side of things, but the work itself, they're not being fully supported in the way that I'm paying for.
Well, I'm not paying that much. That's the other thing, is basically she's only billing me for, by the hour for only about $500 a month. And she, she mainly relies on her husband's income. And that's a good place for me to be instead of having somebody. Mm-hmm. And then, I do have another guy who just graduated from school and he's good in one of the languages that I don't have. So he helps support me there.
Okay. Yeah. And it's a trade-off. I mean, you're not making a wrong decision for keeping her. You are getting support in a certain way from
her.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I can't stay in touch with every client all the time. And just to have somebody else doing that makes a big difference. So it looks more like a professional operation.
Right. So the first thing I want to say is just like, I appreciate the fact that you were able to see that not getting that position you had gone out for, which kind of fell into your lap. It wasn't like you were actively seeking the position, but you went through the whole process. I like how you were able to appreciate that it's not an opportunity lost. It's like, okay, well, not getting it is also a different kind of opportunity, which is an opportunity to have the space and the freedom to devote to my creativity. So I just like how your brain was able to immediately kind of go there. And so your question that you wrote in is, you get easily overwhelmed but you don't want to give up your freedom. So we can talk about that. And then the other thing you wrote is, I feel I'm seen as an eccentric because of your.
Yeah. So basically in terms of like, when I go to lawyers conferences, I feel like people look at me a little funny because most people have normal jobs.
Right. And you've talked about this before. So I do already.
Yeah, and you know, my brother said, oh, well, this means you could interview for other jobs. And the point is, I'm really not desperate to get somebody to pay me a salary. And I'm not really, I crunched the numbers and this job wouldn't have paid me any more than I'm making now on my own. But I would have, the difference would have been a good benefits package.
Right, right. So in order to have a conversation around the idea of being okay with the fact that your colleagues, for the most part, perceive you as different, unusual, eccentric, it's hard to have that conversation in isolation from why this is a sensitivity to you. Because it's not enough for me to say, well, I'll just shrug it off, Beth. Like, you know, who cares what they think? Well, you care what they think. And that comes from your past in some way. Mm-hmm. Either your parents had a certain thing that part of your brain absorbed, or something seminal happened in your adult life. And you're like, ooh, hyper sensitive. And I don't mean hyper in a bad way. I just mean like, oh, very sensitive to this perception. So can you don't have to, but would you like to help me understand a little bit?
Well, my dad's no longer around, but he used to say to me, either get a high power job or find a husband, because he thought I was basic, you know. And so basically people have treated me sort of like a loser because I don't have either a high power job or a husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, you see how that's directly tied to your dad.
It's directly tied to my dad.
Yeah. And it's hard to shake some of this parental. So you can't shake it. You can unwind from it and start telling yourself your own set of stories, because that's your dad's set of stories. He was saying that to you based on his programming and also based on his fear that, oh my gosh, my daughter isn't going to be able to make it in this world. So she needs a mental high power. He wanted you to be safe. Mm-hmm. And for his own reasons, and probably some misogyny, just patriarchal, like women versus men, like he just felt you weren't going to be safe.
Well, my brother, you know, my brother had a little bit of that fear too. He was afraid he would have to support me.
Yeah. So it runs strong in your family that the men have opinions about women as it relates to the world at large and what the world at large was teaching them during that time.
Well, the thing is, I've been babysitting my 11-year-old nephew and he has opinions too. He keeps criticizing things I do. And when he asked, well, why don't you get us a fob so when we come over to your place, we can open the gate? And I said, well, I might have other friends come over. He said, who else would want to come to visit you?
Wow. So he's echoing things he's hearing.
Yeah.
He's now absorbing from his parents.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't, how does that? That doesn't.
I think it's kind of funny because it's coming from an 11-year-old kid. But what I see is the white boy socialization. And that's what I'm looking at. It's like, okay, this is the white boy socialization.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've lived under that.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing it repeated in your family's ecosystem.
Yeah.
So then when you go into professional settings, you see that same thing kind of coming at you a little, it's like, oh, here too. Oh God, no, you know, and then it triggers lots of stuff.
Yeah. On the other hand, I do writing for several female attorneys who have mm-hmm. their own firms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's actually in my area of law, that's pretty common.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. It's not common, as common in the legal profession in general, but in my field, it's pretty common.
Yeah. And so what's interesting is you are in a field of work that mirrors your family dynamic in that respect. So you went right from family thinking that way into a field that particularly thinks that way. So how have you been able to, because you are successful?
Well, I mean, I'm successful in the sense that I bring in enough money to meet expenses and keep a roof over my head and pay the bills. And I generally win cases. I don't win everything, but I generally do a good job and am successful in my work.
Yeah. Those are two huge things. Those are two big accomplishments. And you went to law school and actually graduated. And you passed the bar. And you're a practicing lawyer. And that's just part of your brain. Then you have this whole creative side of yourself. You're multidimensional in the truest sense of the word, Beth. You're amazing and you're doing it.
Yeah. So the thing is, I guess where I look at myself is I'm an apprentice in this improv company. There are a lot of highly educated, funny, eccentric people who have normal jobs and then they do their improv. Now, one of them has a corporate job. And when I told her I worked for myself from home, she gave me a kind of funny look.
Well, that's her job to give funny looks. She's right. An improv person. But I understand what you mean, but you're also very attuned to perceiving things that push that bruise in you. So her funny look could have been like not having a lot of meaning behind it. But you receive and you're looking at how people react when you say the things that you're slightly, concerned about. So let's just put that out there too, And so what? So you said you're self-employed. She gave you a look that you interpreted as kind of like, oh.
Well, because the thing is, before the pandemic, people had offices. Now, a lot of people have given up offices during the pandemic. And the thing is, I do have relationships with other attorneys, before in LA, but now here, where I have office space that I can use. I just haven't had a reason to, because most of my clients are in other cities. And, one or two clients I have here, sure, I can arrange to meet them, haven't always needed to.
You do not have to defend yourself about your choices. You can lay that down.
I mean, the fact is, the SBA gave me an EIDL, gave me a PPP based on documentation about a real company, even though, like, I had a friend who actually from the acting role come to my place and say, well, you don't really have a business. That's because I was running it out of a mother-in-law apartment in the Valley before. Now I'm running it out of a one-bedroom apartment in a suburb of Atlanta. But the perception is, if you have just a computer on a table in your apartment, it's not a business.
But Beth, that's a misperception.
Right.
As you and I both know, that's a super limited definition of business. Everyone has a definition of everything. Definition of success, definition of what a business is, definition of what, a person should or shouldn't be doing. And it's okay to let everyone have those definitions. I'm just wondering, the thing that I think will benefit us to focus on is how is any of this interfering with you doing your art?
Well, it's not really, except that right now I'm in four acting classes a week, Uh-huh. Well, yeah, in a sense that the more energy I put into that, the less energy I have for my law practice. So the decision I made is, okay, next semester after January, you know, I'm going to take a break when my classes end at the beginning of December. And after January, I'm just going to do the improv rehearsal and one class. Okay. Because going four-time rehearsal plus three other classes, that's too much. I can't do that and have the energy to devote to my law practice.
Okay. That sounds like a really smart decision. So I'm just looking for what the problem is. Because I don't.
I guess the problem is the overwhelm. I get into this state of fear and overwhelm. Now I do have a system. I've been using the planner pad. It works. My planner pad is not for different areas of life. It's categories of cases within my law practice, which is fine because I know exactly what I'm doing in my acting stuff. It's mainly training right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in a developmental stage with your acting, and all you need for that is to make enough time to do the things you want to do. And you've decided to improv plus one class. That sounds pretty sane. I like it. Your law practice is there to support you being able to do this. And as long as you keep them in that order, where I'm not going to let my law practice squeeze out any time available for acting, or I'm not going to let my law practice make my acting feel crunchy because I don't have the space for it. I mean, maybe it's not squeezing it out, but it's not making it feel fun because I'm tired. So you have to keep your law practice contained to the degree that it doesn't interfere with the texture and pleasure you get out of acting.
So one way I can use the interview with a nonprofit is it was 37 and a half hours a week, basically 9 to 5, Monday through Friday with a half hour for lunch. I can treat my own practice the same way. And I have been like, I will have clients constantly emailing or texting me. I put my phone away at some point on the weekend and I say enough.
That's right. Boundaries.
Boundaries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can absolutely do this. I believe you have the skill set to keep this proportionality in your life. Law practice constrained so that acting feels fun when I do it.
Yeah. And I do notice, you know, the thing is I can't like take a day off from work just so that I can be 100% present for an acting class. So I have to moderate it somehow, like take a time out or only work 6 hours that day.
That's right. Okay. So I have acting class tonight. So it's a shorter work day.
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of transition time between coming out of work and then being able to go into acting. I don't have to like slam from one to the other. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the fact that you are self-employed and managing your own caseload yourself means that as you get out of the developmental stage of acting and go into jobs and auditions and stuff, you will be able to keep both going.
Yeah. And the good thing is I feel really encouraged by this acting school that I have been going to in Atlanta. I feel it's a supportive place. And one thing I'm relieved about, they assess you at the end of each course and make recommendations about the next classes for you to take instead of you just sort of swimming in the dark, which I felt I was doing a lot in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. Beth, I really want to reflect back to you that you're doing a great job with of this. You're really making sound choices. You're adjusting. These are the things I look for. What kind of choices are you making? I think you're making excellent choices. Are you able to make adjustments when you're feeling a little choky or crunchy? Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So I just went for a walk before this, and actually something I was reading about, it's not LA, it's not the far north, but it's a little chilly. So, you know, I put on a heavy jacket and a hat and gloves and went for a quarter mile walk on this hiking trail right before we met. And that does help.
Yeah. So you're also taking good care of yourself and your instrument because you work hard and a lot of the work you do is intellectual, but our brains burn a lot of energy.
They do. I notice I have to take a break every couple hours, take a time out or have a snack or a cup of tea.
Yes. So you're doing it, Beth. You're doing it. And in my eyes, I think you're very successful as a person.
Okay. Yeah. The thing is, it depends how you compare yourself.
Absolutely. 100%. And trust me, if you were in a group of artists rather than a group of lawyers, the artists would be like, oh my God, you're like a lawyer and you do all of this too. If you were in a group, I should say, of supportive artists whose desire was to find a way to sustain themselves in the world to do their art, they would be like, Beth, you're amazing. Because that's how I feel about you. I think you're amazing. Thanks.
I mean, the other thing is the flip side. One of the reasons I do things the way I do them is the norm in the legal profession is to burn yourself out and get sick and not be able to actually enjoy anything. And, you know, so I'm living a little more humbly than most lawyers, but I'm keeping my health above all.
That's right. The question when someone's like, well, who's successful or who do you think is successful? I'm always like, well, what? I don't know on the surface. I can't judge by surface things like wealth or money or position. I'm like, well, how do they feel inside their life? I learned that as an organizer. I would go into these amazing houses, but I could feel that the texture and the relationships within those walls, it was like, oh no, I would not trade my life for this feeling. And for me, that's how I judge success. What does it feel like to be inside your life?
So I'm asking kind of a funny question. Looking at my picture here in the background, how does my life look?
Oh, like, look, well, fine. I'm from what I can see, it looks okay. Like, I don't see any warning signs, like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily distracted. If you were asking, could you make your background just
plainer? I could take plainer? Some of the things off the sofa that are on the sofa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
every time you're on Zoom, I mean, this isn't a professional call or whatever, but you could just scoot everything down off the edge of your couch.
Yeah.
And then if you took everything off the little mantle area of your kitchen, you just had a tray and you just put everything on a tray, took it off for Zoom calls and then put it back if you wanted to. But there's nothing where I'm like, yeah, maybe you should totally not have that there. Like if the vacuum cleaner was just sitting there, I'm like, maybe not the vacuum cleaner on a Zoom call. But there was nothing that has ever caught my eye looking at your background.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for leading us off, Beth.
Okay, thank you.
I'm really happy I was able to just be like, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
So who's next? Thank you. Hi, Lydia. Welcome, welcome. I'm just saying hi. I'm not putting you on the spot. No one has to talk unless they want to, but the floor is open. Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I had a question. I'm still at the same job and I'm loving it. It's going really well. yeah, it's like really great. And right now I'm in social media. But we just got I had this manager before who was like the manager of the content team and interim manager of the social media team. And so she was amazing. Like, she couldn't, in a previous conversation I had mentioned, I was like directly communicating with the CEO, which had gotten pretty hairy. And that was partly because she wasn't able to fully manage us. She was sort of like a band-aid till they could find like a proper head of social for us. So anyway, now we have a new person, and she's a totally different vibe. There's like a few layers. So the company is European, and they have like Europeans are really, well, I guess maybe not all Europe, I don't know, but the people at this company like have a vastly different communication style than I'm used to working with. Like, there's no politeness. There's no, it's like working with like angry New Yorkers all the time, kind of.
Yes.
But you know, like an angry New Yorker, they're not actually angry. They're just being very clear with like where you stand with them. And there's like, you know, nobody more loyal than a New Yorker, but also nobody more vocal if like they have a problem with you. And it's kind of like, it's kind of like that. And then there's like this other part where I've been living in the South for like the past 4 years. And so, and I worked in the South and in politics, and that is all about diplomacy, being polite. When I first moved to the South, I was very direct. That did not fly. And I got burned by people because they would just be like, bless your heart, and then go, and it didn't, yeah, basically. And so I learned that way of communicating, got great at it. And anyway, now I'm kind of back to, anyway, I've really made that transition. But I do feel sometimes people at this company can be like pretty brutal. Like, it feels sometimes like I'm working in like a pool of piranhas almost. But that is also like my own trigger because, you know, I'm a very sensitive person, and I've had these issues throughout my life, like in any career that I like, theater, politics, like now social media, like it's been, it's like the same old kind of trigger for me. So it's really not on this company. And as I've started to realize that, I've loved the fact that I'm here more and more, because it's like really giving me an opportunity to address like these issues. And I had like a review, and I said in my review, like, I love working here because I've grown personally, like by leaps and bounds, like just the people pleasing has like, is definitely still there, but it's like so much less now. Cause now I just say things. Yeah. It's crazy. Like, I felt like even 6 months ago, or when you and I had like a coaching session in January, like I'm just not even anywhere close to there anymore. Like, it's just, I ask for what I want, and I disagree with people publicly, like in front of other people, which like, I never was like, that made me very uncomfortable. And then when somebody disagrees with me, I don't like get triggered. Like, I'm able more to realize like what they're saying. So it's all really good. But yeah, we got this new manager, and I sometimes feel like she can be overly harsh towards me. And you know, for whatever reason. And I, sometimes I wonder if I can come off disingenuous, because like I work really hard, and not everybody is used to that level of work effort. And so it might come across like I'm trying to shine the apple or like get approval off the bat, but they don't understand that I don't know. I've tried to work on it, but I just can't not work hard. So like, cause I know there's like this whole thing of like, just work less, but I really struggle with that. And it's kind of now come to where it's sort of like, I work for the universe. So I'm giving this to the universe. And then I don't get as resentful when like, maybe I don't get.
There you go. Oh, that's.
Yeah. And I don't get as resentful maybe when I don't get the approval back from that right. specific person, like, oh, my manager's not recognizing me. It's like, but without fail throughout my life, I've been recognized by the universe. Like, so I just have been trying to focus on that anyway. So, but I do feel like there's a, thank you.
That's huge.
But I feel like there's still like a trust level. And the other thing is, I am 40, and my age, social media is a younger set of folks. And I'm also very like, because I've had like a major career shift, like I switched horses midstream. And now I've kind of switched horses semi midstream, where I've gone from politics to now marketing. I feel like my age can, it's turned into like a bit of a chip on my shoulder. Like, I have all this experience. Like, why am I not being given more responsibility than this person who's like 27 or whatever? And so that's kind of one thing. I don't want that. But then also I do want to make sure I'm growing. Like, I want to make sure I'm growing. And yeah, I don't know. I just, sometimes I feel like this job is, I don't think I'm seen as like an entry level worker for this job, but being a social media manager in marketing is kind of entry level, like in the job market or what, like the, what's it called? Profession, like in this specific arena or whatever, like, and so anyway, so there's that. And then the third thing is, there was a opening on the content team with my old manager. Like, she was the perfect manager. Like, she wasn't able to fully manage us, but like, she was like higher than me, like in terms of knowledge. So I was able to grow, as opposed to, I've had a lot of managers in the past where I was the teacher, even though I worked under them and I made less money. And again, that's like the age thing with like the life experience. And so, but she was like able to teach me things. And this new manager doesn't have as much experience as her. She's able to teach me some things, but not all. And I can definitely feel that. But my old manager also, she was like really positive, really just like good at explaining if something wasn't working and like good at giving positive feedback. And I've actually talked to my new manager and been like, listen, like, I appreciate this bulldozer of negative feedback. You know, I mean, I didn't say it like that, but I said, I also need positive feedback, because if you don't tell me what I'm doing right, I might not do it again, because I don't know that it's right. Like, if you're not making it. And so she heard that.
Excellent point. Well done.
You're telling me, oh, I can't. Again, it's kind of, I'm teaching her, which I have a chip on my shoulder about. I have to teach her, because she doesn't have a lot of management. I don't know if she has any management experience, I'll be real, but she's really close with the CEO. And the CEO is very micromanagey with social media. So he like has to approve everything. So that's kind of why also she got the job, because she, you know, and it's important, like her, that is like critical for that. So it's not like I am resentful of her having the, like, it makes total sense, but just, I want to just make sure I'm growing too. So anyway, the new manager, the old manager, the good, cool manager, she, is having, she may be hiring for another copywriter. Mm-hmm. And this would be more like, social has copy, like has writing, and I'm a writer. So it's like it, but the being on the content team, I'd be able to write even more than I am. And I'm making the social work for me. Mm-hmm. So if I wasn't able to switch teams, like, it's not the end of the world, because I'm definitely making it work for me. Mm-hmm. But like, anyway, I met with her last week because I said, so I saw you're hiring for a copywriter. And she was like, oh yeah. Like, do you have anybody to recommend? And I was like, I would like to recommend myself. And she was like, oh, and it was such a good lesson for me because like open mouths don't get fed. I never understood that until this year, really. Like, you have got to ask for what you want. And then it doesn't matter if they say yes or no. Like, it just, because they might not even know. Like, she didn't even think of me.
No, also, how does like she know you could do it?
Exactly. But then there's like a, because she thinks I'm happy on the social team,
right?
You know, and not only that, like, this would be writing scripts for like video and stuff, which I was like, oh my God, I was a playwright, you know, like, yeah. And so, so anyway, we had this meeting and we were talking about it. And so, it turned kind of into, I also really want to make like an impact at this company. Like, I'm always trying to think of ways to like make an impact, like to grow the, I really believe in this company. I'm really into this company. And like, I'm always trying to think of ways. So then I started thinking like, maybe like I, oh, cause then she said that the CEO might not want me to leave the social team. Mm-hmm. And that's true. You know, so I was then trying to think like, maybe there's a way to bridge my role between the social and the content team together that we could like find a balance. But then that raises the question of like, I would need a raise, a change in my job title. So, and then it also kind of raised some guilt because I like this, the content manager better than my social manager. And I was kind of, I told the content manager, just for transparency, I have not gone to my social manager about this. So, you know, and he won't say anything, but I did have some guilt about saying that too. Like, I'm not being fully, but it's, I'm kind of like looking into a new job, if you will, same company, but
yes,
you know,
yeah,
so I didn't want to tell her. Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Transparency. I would love guidance.
Transparency. It's not an absolute. You can't just be like, I'm going to be fully transparent. I'm like, well, that's not going to work in every situation. Yeah, because you're investigating a job in this other department. And if you don't get it, then nothing changes and your manager doesn't need to know anything. And especially if you know your manager might reflect, might have thoughts about why you wanted to investigate that, like, oh, no, no, okay, need to know basis. There are people in your life who need to go on a need to know basis, no guilt. It's better for her. It's better for you because she could spend 2 weeks worrying that she's going to lose somebody and not lose them.
Right.
Like, yeah. So who cares? Yeah. Mm. You're making smart choices. Okay. There's three things you said that were just such good golden nuggets. I just want to reiterate in case some people miss them. Okay. When you go into a new environment with new rules, and in your case, a whole new way of communicating, because the American South and the, you know, Nordic or kind of like IKEA furniture, we are going to like be crisp and clean and there's no excess. That's so different than the florid South. And I mean all of those adjectives just in ways to just kind of starkly delineate. It is very, very different environments. Okay. So when we go into a different environment with new rules that we have to learn, that doesn't necessarily mean we're in an unsafe environment. To our bodies, it might totally feel like we are unsafe. Oh my gosh, this is so different. I know what's going on. I don't know the rules. I feel like I have to get up to speed, but I also have to learn the new stuff about my job. Like, unsafe. But you might not actually be in an unsafe environment. In your case, you aren't, because they like you, they want you, they appreciate the fact that you're there. How do we know that? Because they haven't kicked you out. So you are safe and you have to keep reminding your body it's different, but we're okay here.
Yeah.
We're safe here. Yeah. Because your body receives things differently. Your mind can be like, oh, we're safe. And your body's like, I'm not sure. So a lot of like gentle attention to tension and anxiety and those kind of feelings in your physical body. Okay. So that was lovely that you brought that up. Also, you said this wonderful thing. There is a different texture that you can create in your life when you view things from the perspective of I'm doing this for me versus I'm doing this for them. I'm doing this for this company. So they should, you know, reward me because I'm doing it for them. So they should reward me. Now, you stated as you were talking, like, I love this company. I believe in this company. I enjoy helping this company fulfill its mission. And you can have all of that be true and be doing what you're doing for you.
Right.
But I'm really here primarily because I like and would love to help this company move forward, but not it won't be at the expense of my own personal growth, because if I'm not growing here, I'm going to go somewhere else that I can grow.
Yeah.
So you can have both of those happening at the same time. And that is definitely something that I learned when I was caregiving for my sister. When you take the perspective, I'm doing it for this person, I'm doing it for them, I'm doing it for them. That does not sustain you through the long haul, because when you're doing something for someone else, you're like, and where's my reward? Where's my acknowledgement? Where's my, you know, what am I getting out of this? And you think love, but that love doesn't carry you through 12 years of caregiving. I can tell you that much. And doing it for the company doesn't carry you through a career. When I realized I'm actually doing this for me. Every single thing that I'm doing as a caregiver, I'm actually doing for me, so that when this is all said and done, I can be proud of the fact that I stepped up to the plate and I acted in alignment with my values and my love for this person. But I want that peace of mind. I wanted that peace of mind at the end. So when I realized, right, all of this stuff I'm doing for me so I can get that peace of mind at the end. And that what that did is it relaxed me around having to get thanked in certain ways, having to be rewarded in any way, feeling like I'm doing all of this for love and I should be getting something back. You know, it's like, no, I'm doing it for me. So I don't need anything back because I'm getting what I'm going to get what I want out of it back for me. So that perspective shift will really help you sustain yourself.
Yeah.
Now I'm not saying I don't want people to misinterpret me and think I'm saying, oh, and that helps you stay in a toxic environment. It's like, no, you should always leave a toxic environment and you should always leave a place where you really feel you're not growing, where you've stagnated in certain ways. So not saying that, I'm just saying you're doing it for you, not them.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the other thing you brought up and articulated was employment, including self-employment. It's really always just this constantly shifting kind of puzzle or prioritization between all these different elements: income, growth, respect, stability, positivity. Like you're always monitoring, like, is this job giving me the money? Growth, respect, stability, positive environment. And it's going to always, every job will be more to certain degrees in some of those and less. And you just have to decide at whatever stage of life you're at, what's most important, what you can kind of live with. It's always going to be that. So when you get hung up on like, oh, I really am feeling it these last couple of weeks about this lack of respect, because I have a thing about my age and not, you know, having people acknowledge the the life experience and career experience I'm bringing to the table. Like, you're just fixated on the like respect aspect. What can help you get unhooked from that is just go, okay, let's look at the other stuff. Do I feel like I'm growing? Am I making income? Is it a positive environment? It does it feel stable enough for me? Like, you know, you just always have to acknowledge all the other things when you start to zero in on like money or growth or respect. Yeah.
Yeah.
All of the things are important. It's just always going to be a ever shifting pie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a specific question or?
I guess, yeah, that was really helpful. I think, yeah, the age thing has been coming up a lot for me. And it's about respect. And I like have been, the job in so many ways, it has been like burning down my ego in certain areas. And I can tell, like, I can see it. And that's why so I've been trying to like actively practice, like, because like the other side of it is, and I don't like to admit this, and it's the ego part, is that like this, I am like 5 months into marketing. I've never done marketing before. I did politics. I did theater. Like those have skill sets that coalesce with marketing, but there's like stuff I don't even know about that. And I'm going toe to toe with people in this company that have like masters in marketing. And I'm like, rah, rah, well, I think this, and like, you're supposed to say, do that, you know? But like at the same time, like I I have this like pressure voice in my head, like you must be respected or whatever. I mean, and that's like the underbelly of that is good. You know, it's like, yeah, like, but it's, I want to respect myself. So there's like something in me that I'm not respecting.
And you, I don't got know it. You got it. You got it. Okay. What is two things I want to say.
That's my question. What am I not respecting about myself? What is it?
That's the question. So two things about this. The first thing is that them hiring you without you having a degree in marketing or vast experience in marketing, that is a sign of respect for you and all the other stuff you bring to the table. Yeah. And you may not have gotten hired without that past, without the marketing experience, had you not been 40.
Right.
Because I think they were going, well, but she brings all of this other stuff and a gravitas and a maturity to the role that a younger person with a marketing degree might not bring. And since we have some of those people, let's bring her into the mix. So I think
they literally told me that. I just want to confirm.
Okay.
I do feel you're psychic.
Okay, good. Well, you know,
but they said that. So,
yeah. So that is a sign of respect, and you still being employed with them is a sign of respect.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, Sarah, all of these things are not right. You are not doing, you know, these are your not right things. And we will not mention all the things you are doing. Like it's still, but they're not firing you.
Right.
So it's safe and it's okay. It's okay. And they respect you. And they've told you that point blank. So that indicates, and you are so self-aware that you understand, okay, this is an inside thing now. I got the external validation that they respect me. So my little issue about it is me.
Yeah.
And usually for everyone listening, when you're repeatedly being kind of like, I don't want to trigger is such a big word, but I mean, like, that's why I like saying it pushes a bruise where it's like an ouch, ouch, you know, Beth goes into a thing with colleagues and someone gives her a funny look when she says she's self-employed. Ooh, that's her own bruise.
Yeah.
From long ago. Her dad made that bruise, and then someone just comes up and pushes the bruise and you go, ow, that's a tender spot. So for you, this thing about age and respect is a tender spot that was bruised a while ago.
Yeah.
So when we have a sensitivity like that, or we are wanting something from the world. I want people to respect me. That want usually indicates, oh, you're not actually giving that to yourself. Because if you are giving yourself a lot of respect and thinking, well, I'm hot shit and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. Once Beth, you reach a point where she's like, I am successful. I have an amazing life. I'm far, far happier and more multi-talented than most of the people in the room. I'm not competing with anybody in this room because I'm the happiest. And that's something I heard, God bless where I heard it, but it was from Dr. Phil, I believe. And he was talking about his wife. This sounds so horribly patriarchal, but if you just take the nugget from it, but he was saying, I base my success on whether or not my wife could be in the middle of a crowded room and know she is like the most loved person in the room or something like that. It's like, that is paraphrasing. Cause what I took from that when I first heard it was like, right. Why would I strive to be the most successful person in the room? If I knew I was the happiest person in the room, if I just had I'm the most fulfilled person in the room. I'm the most peaceful person in the room. I'm pleased with my life. I'm enjoying my life. I want to be the person in the room enjoying their life the most. To me, that is my measure that I'm going for. That's my metric. I just want to be the person who's really enjoying her life the most. Yeah. And but nobody else needs to know that. That's the issue, is when you're standing in the room going, well, I respect myself, but I need everybody else to A, know I respect myself, and B, reflect that back to me too. It's like, no, you cannot control the world. You can only control your own little interior ecosystem. So yes, this is something for you to be a little introspective about. It's like, how can I untie this knot and heal this little bruise I have around not being seen and respected? It's old.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do is notice and believe when you are seeing signs of being respected.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
They hired you. Huge respect. Your manager in the department you're in wants to keep you, and the manager in another department is interested. She had the meeting with you. If she was disinterested, she wouldn't, or it would have been 5 minutes. So like, oh, okay. So people are seeing that I bring stuff to the table. That is definitely a sign. Let in the respect and give it to yourself. There, you're hot shit. Like, nobody else needs to know that really, but you. They'll see it eventually, but love on yourself with respect and respect yourself.
Yeah.
And you have been since I have met you. You have been making choices that were very self-respectful. I am going to be uncomfortable yet ask for what I want. I am going to bet on myself. I am going to take this leap. I am going to go places that I haven't been yet. I'm going to pivot my career. Like, that's a lot of self-respect. You respect your talent. You respect your experience. You respect your life experience of being a 40-year-old who's done some work on herself. I mean, I see it. And as long as you see it and I see it, we're good. We don't need anybody else to see it, but you already have evidence that other people see it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, really resonates. I've definitely feel, two things that came up because, recently in my job, I've been telling people, like, I'll weave it into the conversation that I'm 40. And like, at first, that was good. But now I'm like, Sarah, stop. Like, now you're trying to like tell people like you have, I think this conversation, I don't think I'm going to be telling anybody. I mean, who knows, but I feel let that go. Yeah. That's cause that's what I've been doing. At first it was kind of saying like, cause I also look young. So people will, what, well, I know for a fact when I first started, some people thought I was like 20, you know, younger. And anyway, so I wove it in, but it just needs the once. You don't, I keep, but I'm continue to bring it off.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to stop.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I can't stop until I understand it more. And
of
so
course.
Anyway,
of course.
Then there's, yeah. But then there's like this other part too, that, I realized with the self-respect and, wanting to be seen, like, there is like a wound about leaving theater.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe it. But I was done, and it's, I think it's hard for me to understand, you know, much less like have some of my artist friends understand it, but like, I can't explain it. It's so, since I was like 5 years old and I could read like street signs, I would see like a sign like this way to New York, and I wanted to go, and I went, and then I was just all of a sudden done completely. It's almost like I came to live like a few different lives because I was so done. But anyway, I'm still, there's still part, because I'm still an artist. So it, anyway, it's part of me is still kind of unwrapping that. And I think that's also where like the wound from being seen comes from, because like, yeah, I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but just that, like, yeah, I'm still trying. Well, I'm not trying to unpack it, but like, there is part of me that does not understand. I don't know. I was just done. That's all I can say. Like, but it's inexplicable. Yeah, I don't know if you have any comments on that, but that's my last question.
It reminds me of me a lot. I had childhood wounds around not being seen. I changed my career. I'm on my third career now. Each time I left my career, it was because I felt very much like that was the right decision. And I also felt like no one is going to get why I'm doing this. I didn't leave a career after that career had reached a peak. No, I left before a peak. So what am I doing? Am I just self-sabotaging myself? Like, what is this? No, right. I felt like I needed to make the move, and I didn't fully understand it. And I am still an artist and a creative person. I'm not acting anymore. I could act because I know how to do it. You could write a play if you wanted to devote the time and attend. You know how to do it. That doesn't go away. And that side of yourself doesn't go away just because you're not doing it as a profession or whatever. So yeah. And the thing that makes me not worry about you is the fact that when you felt done, you followed that intuition. Even when you didn't fully understand, well, we're going in a new direction. Okay. I get, I didn't see this coming. You didn't fully understand it, but you followed it. And you weren't able to really explain it to people, but you did it anyway.
Yeah.
Keep doing that your entire life. Listen to your intuition and follow it. And sometimes you will not understand it. And sometimes you'll get hindsight and be like, oh, I get what was going on here. And sometimes you won't get that hindsight. Sometimes you won't. But when you know something is true and you know you're ready for something, don't delay that. Because I think that's where a lot of harsh feelings that can drag, heavy feelings can drag us down, simply because we're staying in a place when our soul and intuition has told us it's time to move on, but we stay. And you didn't stay longer than was necessary. And that is a huge, huge thing in life. And you did it. And you, so you have that capability. And I'm just encouraging you to keep following it. And you're going to come to understandings around these shifts in your life later. Just keep, that's what the 40s is for. The 40s is a lot about, okay. I see things a little more. If you continue to do the work, it's like, I see things a little more clearly. The 20s is like, who am I? The 30s is like, oh, can I make this work? Can I make me work in this world we live in the confines of this world? Okay. And the 40s is a lot of like, oh, I understand a little bit more. And I think it's also, it helps if you're able, as you progress in life, to let your ego crumble more and more and more and more. So congratulations. You're at the beginning of a fascinating decade that will surprise the pants off of you, because you're doing your work, Sarah. You're aware and you're in touch with your intuition. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We're just going from person to person today of like, good life. Good job doing life, Beth. Good job doing life, Sarah. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that.
It was good to see you. It's always a pleasure when you pop in and go, okay, here's what's happening now. I'm like, okay, who's next?
Hi.
How are you?
Good. I didn't submit a question, but I have a question. So okay. I don't know if I can do that or if someone.
Oh, you absolutely can. Already. The floor is open.
Okay.
So you are, tell us, are you your cash flow kitten or where are you?
Kitten, I would say.
Okay. And you're this fabulous dancer, choreographer, artist. What's going on?
Yeah, so in New York right now. I've been here for like 3 weeks. My husband's working on a project, so I've been more like in the support mode, but I see, as far as intimacy coordinating, I've been meeting with different intimacy coordinators, and also let me know if you can hear me, because I've been told that these headphones sometimes.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of background noise right now.
Yeah. And okay, let me switch over.
Okay. And just for the people listening, she said the words intimacy coordinator. That's one of the side businesses that we have been looking at with Anise. Intimacy coordinating, and the other one was choreography for wedding celebrations.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Exactly. So is that better?
Yes, that is.
Okay, so I've been meeting with a lot of intimacy coordinators, and yeah, I have a mentor, and a big suggestion was like business cards, website, and already, I know we've already been working on the wedding website, so I just decided to combine it all.
Okay.
For like everything I do, I was getting overwhelmed about thinking about different sites and different site names and all that. But now it's coming to the point where I need to just like decide on a name. And I have a couple ideas, and I'm like, should I like send a survey out to people? Like, should I just decide? Yeah. So that's kind of where I am. Like a trying to figure out a name for my website.
Okay. And why not your name?
I thought about that. Well, one, Anise, I don't want to put my full name, like Anise Hansias. And then Anise is taken, and like Anise.com, Anise.co, like all of them are .net, and just they're all gone. So I would need to put my last name. I don't think I want to do that.
No, you don't have to.
So I was thinking of like, I wanted it to be broad enough, but maybe still relevant. So I was thinking of like Anise Feed or like Anise Soil, because they're all like my projects or like things coming from.
Say those words again. Anise what?
Feed. I can also put them
in it. Anise Seed, S-E-E-D.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the other one?
Or
Anise Soil.
Yeah. Just like playing with the, because people, when I tell them my name, if I say like the spice, they'll remember. But if I just say like a niece, they're like, oh, how do I pronounce it, blah, blah, blah. So like kind of playing with that, and also playing with like the fact that these are like projects that are growing, I guess, or like all the things. And I'm very like nature-y and garden centric, so it felt nice for that reason. But I'm wondering if it's too much of a stretch, like if someone looks at that, they know. I don't think someone's gonna look at my website name and know what I do, and I'm okay with that. But cause it's gonna have very different, not very different, but different services. Well, right now it has intimacy coordinating, wedding, hip magic, and pulling the love, like links to all of them. That's my body butter. So it has like links to all of them. But I want to be able to just be like, here, go here. Like this is, you can just see my intimacy coordinating site without having to do all the rest of them kind of thing. But I need like a landing page web domain.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I really, you do not need to send out a survey. It's a lot of work and you'll just get so many.
Yeah.
You'll get, I don't think it will be as clarifying as you'd hope it would be,
okay.
But I like the way you're thinking. Yes. You don't have to use your full name. And you and I immediately started thinking along the same lines. I think it should be your name plus something. And it could be as, and all it needs to be is something that's an easy URL that's easily understood. And because they're going to have to, you know, learn the spelling of your name to get there, but that's fine. People, you know, they're usually clicking links anyway. And then something that you can get the .com to. It could be a niece love. It could just be that. Because intimacy coordinating, and you said love with the other business and weddings, it's just, you're just all, it's the love. You're just, and the love that you put out like in the world, and the just your big heart. I mean, everything you do is so infused with your heart. That's what I've seen across the board. That's why when you were like, what about intimacy coordinating? I'm like, that's perfect with your movement background and your heart and sensitivity. It doesn't have to be a niece love, but I just think it's like, oh, how lovely. Like,
yeah. That includes everything.
And your URL doesn't have to kind of mean something.
Okay.
It can if that naturally happens with your business, but it doesn't have to. It needs to be a place that, you know, that doesn't make someone go, what are you talking about? Either like it's too confusing or it's too long, or you just don't.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, a niece love, great.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you were an entirely different person in an entirely different market, you could have a name, your website, like Christine the Great. Whatever I do is like, you could do something like that. Mm-hmm. Niece love. Yeah. Like, it's great. And people will think that's your name. They'll think love is your last name. You go, no, it's what's in my heart. That's all you have to clarify. Yeah. So something along those lines.
Okay. That's actually a nice reminder. It's like it's simple and doesn't have to have, because I've been so caught up. I'm like,
No. Like, and I do want it to be something that is more non-specific so that you can flow, because you're a very creative person and you're multidimensional and multi-talented. Those are two separate things and you are both of them. And so you're going to change as the years go, but why not have just one home base?
Yeah.
Now, because there are pros and cons to having individual website for your individual projects and having one umbrella that everything goes under. These days, it doesn't matter because we're so used to seeing all different kinds of things. Way back at the start of the internet, it was like one website with one URL that leads to one thing. Like, but that is no longer the case. And if you want to, you can also buy a URL that is specific to wedding coordination, and you just have that URL take people to the wedding page on your website. That's what I do. So my caregiving program is called You First. So it's just a page on my overall website. But if I'm out speaking, instead of having to say, oh, go to christineoller.com/you first, I just say, go to youfirstcaregivers.com. But that just takes them to the page on my website.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
Okay.
Feel you want to have like a niece intimacy coordination.com.
Yeah.
Just have it point to that section on your website.
That's actually really good, because I do want to, specifically for intimacy coordinating, I want to have something that's just like intimacy coordinating. And but for it to be like what this clear space is, be like /services/blah blah blah. So
exactly,
to know I can do that and redirect it, and still have like the site domain is actually really helpful.
So when you're talking with someone about intimacy coordination, you go, oh, go to AniceIntimacyCoordinator.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would just buy it like on a domain host and like it would redirect.
Yep. Like, you buy the domain and there, the next question they kind of ask you is like, where would you like us to point this?
Okay.
Put in the actual URL for your website. And they'll be like, okay. No problem.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yay. I'm glad you found a mentor. I'm glad you're making progress. That makes me so happy. It's good to see you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please tell Martha I say hi.
Oh, okay. I will. I'll see her on Thursday.
Oh, good. Give her a giant hug from me. Anybody else? Or do we feel complete for the day? Yep.
I'm like, I actually have another question.
Absolutely.
I feel like the past few years, I've focused less on like the art side of me, or as far as like everything's been more for my services. I mean, I have done some art merch and some choreography, and it's kind of baked into my services now.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been wanting to like explore more. And I feel like now that I know what I'm doing on the other side, I'm a little more free to do that. But I was wondering, like, how, I'm not quite sure what my question is, but it's like balancing that and performing, or like having services and performing, like energy in them. And specifically for me, wanting to do my theater, working as an IC, kind of in that world, it's not a conflict of interest with people who do both. And I see mainly for film, but yeah, just figuring out, I think it's like putting the word out there that I also am an artist, when I'm also putting the word out there for my services, and not wanting it to be confusing, or if I'm just like overthinking it. So that's,
I mean, I wouldn't say you're overthinking it, but I just feel like it's, why don't you experiment with deciding it's not a problem? And then let's see if any problems arise. And then we can deal with the problems. Instead of like, ooh, I don't want any problems to arrive, so let me try to project, figure it out. It's like, I don't know. I don't actually think even you and I could sit down and figure it out. Like,
yeah,
because you kind of just have to see what happens as you start to mix all of these parts of you.
Yeah.
It's so much more enjoyable. And I really think it works out better for everyone when they're fully integrated in their life. Mm-hmm. They're fine with being an intimacy coordinator and a wedding choreographer and a performer and a choreographer and a, and. It's like, yeah, that, because that is true. That is you. Mm-hmm. And you will have the best results in anything you do in life, business, artistic, if you show up with your full self. You don't have to talk about your full self all the time.
You
show up holding it all and not having a problem and thinking, oh God, one of these is going to hurt the other.
Yeah.
When I started organizing and acting, I did that experiment. I'm like, I'm just going to say this isn't going to be a problem, that my organizing jobs won't interfere with my acting work. And when they do, I'll deal with it. And then people won't think I'm a weirdo for organizing and being an actor. I'm like, I don't think it's weird. It's me. So all of that is you. And let's do, I suggest the experiment of like, okay, 2023, we're just going to see what I'm going to be fine with it all. And if I organically have opportunities or just comes up in conversation where you're talking about intimacy coordination and someone's like, oh, how did you, oh, well, yeah, I'm a performer. Like if it organically comes up, you allow yourself to speak your truth, but you don't have to force it into the conversation. Plus when someone, that's the beauty of you having your website, the way it will be with everything on it, is someone's like, oh, I'm here for this, but oh my God, she also does this and I like her, so I want her to choreograph my wedding dance. Like, yeah. Okay, so that's one thing. But the second part of what you were asking is, how do I personally, like, how do I balance out making time and giving space to the yearning I now have after a pandemic to finally do live performance again, because that is your jam. Mm-hmm. By the way, Anise, good job for making good use of the downtime, the forced non-performing time. Of course, you're yearning to do this more naturally. So here's the thing. When we have a lot of competing things that we are need to do and want to do in our life. So you've got these side businesses and then you have your performing. It is too easy sometimes for people to go, well, of course I'll give my artist side room when something comes up. It's like, yeah. But if you wait for something to come up, you might have all of your other stuff really encroach too much upon your artist stuff that the artist opportunities don't arise because you're not talking about it. You're not. So the thing about getting opportunities and creative inspiration for your own work, you have to give yourself the space for that to appear. You have to let, so you need some time every single month until it starts to be naturally, it gains some momentum and the opportunities just come and you don't really have to set aside extra time. But in the beginning to get that momentum going again, I think you really need time every single month that you just give yourself for the art part of you. It might be, and you can make that time different every month. It doesn't matter, but I'd like you to decide how many hours a month. So let's just say you say, I'm going to give myself 10 hours a month. Some months that might be a full weekend and some months it might be a little bit of time every single week. It doesn't matter. So then you give yourself these 10 hours. At first, these 10 hours might just be you taking a walk and thinking, you listening to music and getting inspired, you fooling around in your room with different moves, you having lunch with someone related to, like, it doesn't have to be out there finding a job opportunity for me to perform. It might be, but creativity just needs space. So I think that's the first step for you. And I actually think once you give it and protect those hours, however many you have to protect them, that's you honoring your artist. Once you start doing that, you're going to get much more clear on like those 10 hours are going to be filled with stuff because you'll talk about it more. But yes, you should definitely let people know that all of the sides of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And here's the other thing, and this kind of speaks to Sarah and Beth as well. Just because you're not actively pursuing or doing something that you totally could do as a whole career if you wanted to, it doesn't mean you've lost that part of you. Talent is not an obligation to do the actual thing you're talented at. You could be a brilliant photographer and just be like, yeah, but I'm not really interested in actually doing anything with that. Talent isn't an obligation. Talent is just like, hey, here's something you can use if you want to use in your life. Great. I don't actively act anymore. I don't pursue work in acting, but I'm totally still an actor. I'm totally still a creative. I don't pursue organizing, I don't really do it anymore, but I'm a brilliant organizer. Like that didn't go anywhere. I just don't give it a lot of time and attention. I give my coaching, but all three of those careers live inside me. I could organize tomorrow. I could act tomorrow and I can coach tomorrow. And then it's just my choice of what I'm cultivating. So if you didn't coordinate a wedding dance for 4 years, you could still do it. Like it's just there. And then it becomes your choice of what you want to give your time and attention to. You don't have to choose except what you give your time and attention to, but you don't have to like who I want to be. You don't have to choose any of that. You are who you are, you fabulous woman. And you're going to keep collecting and building skills and strengths, hopefully, your whole entire life. You're just going to become more things. And it might so happen that opportunity and interest kind of condenses for you. And something, opportunity plus interest, makes you focus down your life and really pursue something to a state of like mastery at it. That's not, by the way, a moral triumph. You're not better or worse of a person if you achieve mastery in one thing or you're amazing at synthesizing a lot of things, which is its own sense of mastery. Synthesizing many talents. One isn't better or worse. Goes back to Beth. What is success? I don't know. How do you feel? Are you enjoying your life, Anise? I just want you to enjoy your life. I just want you to be happy and be able to sustain yourself so you can do the stuff you love to do. I want you to create the cash flow so you can do the other stuff. Yay! As long as you're enjoying it. Yeah, that's the point. So I definitely get what you're saying. And I just want to say, I'm definitely a living example of just be you, do you. It can all live under the same roof. Anyone who's like weirded out that you're not picking one thing or you're doing two things at once, they're not your people. Just not your people. Your people are going to be like, I love that you do all this. I love that you do it all. And I think that's an asset. And I think it's better. Their personal opinion of you is going to be, it's amazing and better that you do multi-talented things. They'll feel more comfortable with you. Yeah. Good job. Good job. Okay, guys. Thank you for this Monday. I think that will wrap us up. Lydia, did you want to say hi or?
Hello, everyone. This is my first coaching call, and I wanted to kind of sit and soak it all in. And yeah, thank you. It was awesome to learn from each person's situation and be like, oh, that totally applies to me. And, oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Or I've been there. And it was lovely.
Oh, good. If you have, because we have 5 minutes left, I would personally just love to get to know you a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like, why would you even join Cashflow? What's going on?
Oh my gosh. So I am an actor, voice actor, producer, singer. In the past, I've been a dog trainer. So the part where you're saying just because you have talents doesn't mean you have to use it. I was like, even in college, I worked with dogs. So it's been about 8 years on and off. When I came to LA, I got hired by a dog training company that everyone basically worked as independent contractors with their own mini business, and they would just farm out clients. And so I was like 21 and getting sent cases. It was a really poorly run company. So I was getting cases way beyond my skill level. There wasn't mentors. It was really like nasty between individual trainers. So I was like oftentimes in over my head and did that for a couple of years. And then I burnt out completely, even though I loved it, because it was too much. There was no balance with the creative, the career. It was just all consuming. So then I went into catering, and then I went into serving and did that for a while. And then when the pandemic hit, I ended up having a lot of health issues. So I couldn't do serving anymore. And you helped me like 6 months ago in a mindset call. I had two financial gifts. One, my grandmother passed away and left an amount of monies. And then one of the companies, I'm gonna say I was assaulted by my manager, happened to another woman, they did nothing. So we went to mediation. So I had two financial gifts. So when the pandemic hit, and I was like, well, I can either keep working and serving and my health is like going haywire and my mental health's not great because I hadn't dealt with all that. So I took time off, took the pandemic and just focused on my creative career. The first year and a half of the pandemic was just like mental health, physical health, nothing else. And then the last, I don't know, however long, I found voiceover, which gave me a way to perform without needing to use my physical body as much. And it's been amazing. I've had more like opportunities in those areas than ever before. I booked a gig, the Bridgerton Experience. So for 3 months, I was doing voiceover live 5 days a week. And yeah, it was great. And so I'm just off that. I signed with a really great commercial agent who's sending me out all the time, but the very like, you know, being a part of this group, Miata's Abundance Bound, I'm like, okay, this is lovely. This is great traction. And I'm very both privileged and lucky that like I can still afford to not take a support job right away. But I'm also like, I know that a creative career will go through ups and downs, and I don't want to always rely on that. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I think it would be beneficial to start thinking of what I could do to create more abundance and cash flow. And I have these various skills, but I think because was so burned by that initial company, and like when I tried doing it on my own, it went horribly. I always undercharged myself. And so I was like, I don't know. So yeah, here I am wanting to learn, and I don't know which of my skills, none of my skills, all of my skills, but I'm ready to like add in something new.
Oh, yes.
But I also am, I'm like, I'm loving how the creative career is going. And since it's both on camera and voiceover, I'm like, okay, how do I keep that going, adding in another?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm delighted you're here. Absolutely. And you're so smart. The choices you've made, fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, 100%. And including the choice you've made right now of like, okay, I'm going to start exploring this and thinking about it and experimenting before I like, oh my God, I need to make the rent. Yeah, that's better. Because now we have time to have these conversations without this feeling of immediate pressure.
Yeah.
But I do think, again, really smart that you're like, okay, I want something that's in place where I can grow it when I need it and then shrink it when I don't need it, or just put it totally dormant, pull it out again when I need it, and just do that to fill in the gaps as the little roller coaster of your creative career goes along.
Yeah.
And there's not, every creative career is a roller coaster, period. There are very few people who get to a place where it's not. But by the way, just because we look at a career and go, God, they just go from project to project to project, doesn't mean it's not an emotional roller coaster, by the way. You can't judge someone's insides from looking at their outsides. So I think a creative career is always a roller coaster, whether it's income and or emotional.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that is, but right now, that's the life you want. So let's put a little something in place that helps you have the life you want. And maybe you'll never have to use a little bit, like that's the idea. My whole, I think I wrote this in the course, the Creative Cashflow course, but like, that's the whole point of this. The whole point of a little side gig is to get you to the place where you never need your little side gig anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a creative person, like, and want a creative career, like that's the point. So yes. So when you are ready, it could be next time, whenever, just come back to a session and let's look at all your skills and all your strengths and pull those apart. I would also recommend that you listen to the Abundance Bound podcast episode. It's one of the, I think it might be the third episode. It's an interview with Regina.
Okay.
Who's a member of Abundance Bound and the Financial Empowerment Program. And she joined Cashflow. She was a dog, a pet sitter, walker, same thing, chronically undercharging, just her. And it's, you'll hear a story of how we helped her put together this thing and the experiments she made and just sort of where she kind of landed in a very short amount of time. And as she was building the muscles of, you know, learning how to, you know, really be a nice self-employed person and betting on herself and doing real leaps of courage, her acting career started taking off too, like more jobs, better representation. So it all feeds into one another. That's what I love about talking about business with artists. Everything you learn here is only going to help you in exactly what you really, really, really want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because strong muscles, that's what we want.
I love it.
Yay. I'm so excited. So we will have a lovely conversation when you're ready to have that. I look forward to it.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. Otherwise, guys, go have a great week. See you next Sunday. Or Sunday, the coming Sunday. I don't even know. That's that. I'm self-employed. I don't know what day it is. Okay. Bye.